talking about sleep and what happens while you're sleeping. Now, I have a very strong perspective on this, and I'm sure you do as well. Was that it?
Did you see it?
That's I saw it.
Yeah, it keeps going.
It just went,
yeah.
Everyone, an orb just went across my screen.
Yeah, I've been watching it for the last few minutes, dancing around.
I didn't see it in life. I didn't see it in, because it was probably up here because the camera's here, but I saw it in the camera, in the frame.
If you've got the footage of this, you'll be able to capture it. And then we can take a still of it, and then we can have a look to see what it is actually in the orb.
Is it going to have a face or something?
It could do. It could have a signature in it. It could have an energy about it. We'd be able to tell by the color.
This camera's going to be kind of grainy, I think, but we could try.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to have
a look. Let me mark the time. Okay, so I'll just give you a very brief perception on sleep and what I channeled and what I understand.
Okay.
Okay. So there's different layers to this. So when you go to sleep on the physical level, the obvious level, your body is restoring. You are at rest. Your body can relax and can return to its natural state. On another level, what's happening is you are free to reorganize the thoughts of the day, to process, to look for patterns. You can sort of play around with what happened and make sense of what happened in your day and the lessons learned. Now, on a deeper level, you go back to what I refer to as the non-physical. You could be in class all night. We're always learning. Our spirit is sort of processing again the things from the day and in class and learning. But because time is experienced different in the non-physical, that all seems to happen in a second, even though it could happen all night. And then what we perceive as our dreams is actually when you're starting to awaken and you're trying to interpret the lessons that you have been learning, and you give yourself signs and symbols to try to interpret. And it may seem like you've had the same dream all night, but it really is a matter of seconds before you wake up. Because again, time is experienced differently in physical reality than in non-physical reality. So there's a lot going on when we're sleeping on a atomic and subatomic level.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do you think your thoughts come from?
I believe we attract thoughts.
Yeah, I know you do, but where do they get attracted to? Do they get attracted to us as a whole? Do they get attracted to our knee? Do we get attracted to our left elbow?
Our knees.
Of course. Why didn't I think of that, Jackie?
I mean, we get thoughts in our knees. I believe listen, it feels like it comes to our head, right?
Okay. Well, does it?
Or sometimes our heart center.
Well, does it?
I don't know.
This is the thing. This is what I want to challenge a little bit on, so we can discover some newer areas to explore.
Okay.
Because it's great to consider certain things. And it could be that we have cell memory. Every cell of our body has a constant actual input into everything we're doing. So we think with the whole of our body, not just with our minds. Okay. So everything's attracted to us as an energetic organization of cells. And every cell has the actual construct to hold all the memories, all the instructions, all the blueprints for everything that we do, everything that we are, and everything we're ever going to become. So when we're sleeping, isn't it our body that attracts the thoughts, the patterns, everything that we need? And the detachable part of us, which is our soul, goes and has a rest. Because our soul never gets a chance during the day, because our body is
funny. Here's the fork in the road. I don't believe that we need rest. When you feel tired, that's resistance and that's fear. But our souls in their natural state don't experience fear. There's no fear in the non-physical. So my sense of it is there's no rest at all, not even a little bit. There's no shutdown. It's absolutely at work, at play, in joy, and in its natural state, in learning constantly.
Okay. What I think we're debating is which parts of us are interactive and which parts aren't.
Yes.
Because the human body, the mortal body.
Yes, because I think the body is at rest.
Is at
rest. You're saying the body is the one receiving the thought. Rest.
Yes, absolutely. But the body actually acts as a transmitter. The vibrations, the frequencies, everything around our body is what attracts the things to us.
Okay, so here's another thing where we're separating, because even before you go on, you know, our body is made up of trillions and trillions of life forms. We are not our body. Our body is made up of other life forms that are basically listening to us. We're the leader of our body. So why then, if we're asleep, would our body not be doing the same thing that our soul is doing?
No, we're not the leader of our body. We're the leader of our soul. Our soul is the intelligent energy that we have. That's our life force. That's our personality. That's our creativeness. That's our a way of being able to connect to other life forces and other sources of energy. So our soul is the main source. The body goes where the soul leads it. Now, when we're sleeping, the soul actually jumps out of the body and goes and travels wherever it wants to travel at the speed of light.
Agreed.
So, great.
And then we're going to talk about, the astral planing, you know, that you can do while you sleep.
Yeah, but this is another thing that I get a little bit sort of thinking about, because I'm, you know how much I think about these things.
Yeah.
I think someone's named it the astral plane.
You don't like that.
I think it's a figment of someone's imagination that everyone's jumped onto, because if there was an astral plane, why would there be an astral plane? It doesn't need to be an astral plane, because we have the freedom of the universe, or the universe is. The only thing that limits us is our imagination. And as soon as we start putting titles on things, we're limiting ourselves
always
to that existence.
I agree that every time you label it, it is definitely confining and limiting. I do also know that as people, in order to understand something or to share something, you know, our language is limiting. We do our best to describe things. And in order to do that, we label them. So I want to label really quick for anyone listening, because I wasn't as familiar with this before any of this work. I would not have understood at all what astral planning was. But the idea of it is that you leave your body and you can go anywhere, see anyone, do anything, that your soul can go travel to different times, different, you know, areas of the world, and other, you can meet up with other people. So that's the thing about, I would say, is how do you explain that then, when you astral plane and you rendezvous with someone, and the next day they recall feeling you and sensing you and having that interaction?
Right. Let me explain it to you, because there's a couple of things here. First of all, what I'd like to say about dreams is you can order your own dreams. You can actually put an order in for where you want to be. Now, if I wanted to have a dream with you tonight, Jackie, I could actually put that order in and we could go off and have a dream together.
Are we going to have a drink and just like talk about fun stuff? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Let's do that. Okay, I'll put an order in to have a drink with you and talk about and try to figure out the orb. All right, cool.
Absolutely.
I'll see you there.
It's cool, isn't it? We'll report back on the future podcast, folks. But the thought is that is what we can do through energetic thoughts and energetic energy. Now, I want to ask you, where do you think new knowledge comes from?
There is no new knowledge.
So where does knowledge come from?
I believe that it's attracted. Everything exists in some realms in the non-physical. And when we're open, we can access any thought that has ever been thought.
Okay. So everything's open to the possibility.
Correct. Well, that's what everything. I believe. Yeah, everything. So, are we on the same page?
I think you're correct as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. So
doesn't make it so. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It's just the way that we align into our thoughts.
And correct.
We for once agree, which is amazing.
I love that.
For anyone else that may be around, but we seem to come on the same level here. But the fact is that new knowledge is only relevant when you ask the right questions, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. You have to ask the right question to get the next stage, and the next stage, and the next stage. So being aware of what's around is one thing. But being able to access what's around is through being able to put your thoughts in the right direction to explore the possibilities.
Now,
what they say is that science fiction writers actually access the future. when they actually write about things that they're going to happen on in the future episodes of a science fiction program, because they've actually started the consciousness into that area of thought. So once it's in the consciousness, then we can ask the questions.
Yeah, exactly. And look, okay, we've talked about time and everything happening. It's a circle, right? So everything has already happened and everything that is happening will happen, has happened. So yes, you can understand how you could access moments from the future, and you can.
And the thing is, it's about being able to accept those moments.
Oh yeah. And then once it's brought into consciousness, that's when a thought becomes a real tangible manifestation. It first is a thought. Everything in our reality was at first a thought. My stapler was an idea that someone had that is now a stapler sitting on my desk. Who has staplers, by the way? I do. I don't know why it's vintage. Here's my cute gold and clear stapler. But yes, so then it becomes
Have you got anything else you want to expose here?
Yes, the tape. I have a very cool, well, listen, it's a podcast, so people can't see anything, but this is an old timey calendar that you rotate the days by hand.
Oh, I see that calendar. That actually says it's going to be my birthday soon.
Holy shit.
Oh, look.
When's your birthday?
No, your birthday.
No, what's actually crazy is I think it was on the birthday of my niece that passed.
Ah, that's
cool. And I moved this. It was like one day before. And then that's crazy. Hello.
Yeah, see, that might be a connection to the orb. You might have a haunted booth.
She's definitely around playing around with me all the time. So if there's an orb, we're going to check it out. It will be her. And then her birthday. Was on that? That's crazy. I have the chills. It was one day off, but I had just rotated it. So I may have rotated it back one day.
Yeah. Brilliant.
See, sorry. That off topic.
No, random stuff happens. And that's what it's about, listening to your thoughts.
Yeah.
See, and that comes down to calmness. And that comes down to being able to be centered and physically aligned to source, because if you are, then you're going to ask the right questions, and then sleep becomes an absolute privilege where you can start to explore the worlds around you that you wouldn't explore in the physical.
Because but you're saying asleep, you're not your soul's not exploring it, your body, who's exploring it in your mind?
In your mind is very
no you who do you think who's doing the exploring while we're sleeping?
Yeah, who is? Who is?
What part of us?
Yeah. And what I believe is that I believe that the soul detaches, and the soul is a multiple part of everything we ever have been, never are likely to be. It's the whole of us. So any guides that you may have, anybody that may be attached to you.
I agree with you. You were saying that maybe that part of us is at rest. And I'm saying, no, that part of us is doing its thing.
No, but the soul is at rest because it's doing something that it wants to do.
I agree. But didn't you start by saying that the soul part of us detaches and then is at rest and the body's doing receiving?
Yeah, no, the soul does detach and is at rest because it's doing something it wants to do.
So we agree, actually. It was just language was getting in our way. It's doing what it wants to do freely. And that freedom is what you are referring to as rest. And freedom is what I was just referring to as freedom to explore. We're actually saying the same exact thing.
Yes, in different ways.
Different language.
Yeah, you've got to see that when we actually have free will to do whatever we want to do, that is rest.
Oh, okay. Well, hello. You might want to define that for a person next time. Yeah, okay. I'm with you on that, because also when you're in your free will and in your freedom, that's what I was saying earlier about there's no resistance, there's no fear, so there's no tiredness.
And that's my point.
Oh my God.
I could go into the hallelujah chorus right here, but I won't.
I should have known we were saying the same exact thing. That is, so to you, rest is what I was referring to as freedom of exploration.
Yeah, absolutely. And freedom is rest, isn't it?
So beautiful. I just never thought of it that way or to define it that way, but yes.
Yeah, it works. And as soon as you start to see that, which is, it's great that we have different opinions coming to
Wait,
the
it
same
turns
opinion.
Out we're actually aligned. Our opinions are not different. It's just how cool we just use different ways to get there. But yeah, sometimes we defer. And yeah. I know, you know, when we talk about ghosts at some point, we're going to just straight debate. But yeah, I mean, our soul is free when we sleep. And Absolutely. That freedom is rest.
And you can learn to do that through meditation. Yes. You can learn to do that through remote viewing.
Yep.
Yeah. And you can learn to do it through lucid dreaming.
Yes.
So there's three access points to doing the things that we can do, not just sleeping.
By the sleeping way, it's funny you say that because I did write that. It could be while meditating. You can find other ways.
Yes.
To get there. Yes.
Absolutely. You don't have to be asleep and no. unconscious to explore those possibilities. And
right.
the fact that Ingall Swann talked about remote viewing so vividly about how to connect to the soul and let the soul do the journey and do the searching while the body was still conscious, not asleep, but still conscious.
Yeah.
He was very explicit about being able to put yourself into that state of thought.
And or even a trance kind of.
Yeah, you can only put yourself into that state of thought when you're conscious. So
okay, so three access points.
Yes, meditation, remote viewing, and sleep. Okay, all different, all a little bit, all different frequency, all have the parts to play in our lives.
Oh, wait, and lucid dreaming. Where does lucid dreaming go into the sleep category? Yes.
Yep. Well, lucid dreaming is about being able to be in control of the dream that you're having.
Right.
So you have to be consciously aware that you're in a dream state.
We've all had that, at least by accident. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or that part where you're kind of, you're asleep, but you feel your body, you can't move it. It's numb.
Yeah.
Or I told you, I had this dream where my baby was crying and I walked out to go get him. And I had this feeling like, don't open the door, because I didn't trust my subconscious. And I thought, yeah. But what if I'm awake? And I thought, okay, if I'm sleeping, I can fly. So yeah. I'm just going to see if I can fly real quick. And I started floating above in my kitchen. I thought, okay, no, I'm dreaming. I don't have to go get the baby. I'm going to go do something else. Yeah,
no, that's brilliant. That's a great relation thing to think about in that line. Yeah, in my world, I would think about turning a light switch on.
Yes, you said that. Turning a light switch on. Yes.
It takes 7 seconds in a dream because the speed of light is so fast. A light switch goes on instantaneously. If you're in the waking world, you switch a light on, you can't even see the speed of sound or the speed of light. But in a dream, it's a conscious thought, and a conscious thought takes 7 seconds.
Okay, so, a conscious thought takes 7 seconds. Have you done this? Turn on a light in your dream?
Oh, yes. It's how I realized that I'm actually dreaming. It's because I wanted to become aware of the fact that I was in a dream state. Because as soon as you're aware that you're in a dream state, your imagination is your only limit.
So do you do that often?
As much as I possibly can. Yeah,
and then when you do you think, I'm going to go to Bali?
Oh, I go wherever I want. I don't stay on the Earth. I go to distant planets and go and see the different planets that are in the universe. When we look at our lives, 1 million.